Hello, Miss Mason.
Oh, hello, Megan. How are you today? Is there a reason why you're calling me Miss Mason?
There is a reason why I'm calling you Miss Mason again, because we may or may not have another Kayla today.
What? We actually have a few amazing ladies on this episode.
Yes, we do.
Very excited.
Oh, it's going to be such a great bunch of people to talk about a very necessary topic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm very ready for this. I've been looking forward to it for like the last 2 weeks. So let's go.
Yes, let's dive in. I love it. Yay. Hi, I'm Kayla Mason.
And I'm Megan Smith.
And this is Human Design in Real Time. I'm the founder and CEO of Kayla Care, and as an intuitive human design coach, I use human design to help you get to the root of what's holding you back from living the life you actually want to be living.
Human design is a map of your energetic DNA that uses a combination of ancient systems and modern science to help you understand how your energy shows up in the world.
On this podcast, we'll be talking with people from all walks of life about how their human design affects their lives and the lives of those around them.
To download a PDF of your own human design chart, all you need is your exact birth time, and you can go to kayla-care.com to download your own copy.
So let's get started.
Welcome back to the Human Design in Real Time podcast. Today, we will be talking about sexuality and how it manifests in our designs. Our panel today is filled with some amazing coaches. Joining us for the very first time today is Natalia Gillick. She is a certified sexual practitioner, erotic and sensual empowerment coach, and the founder of Yoni Wonderland. Returning to the podcast for our panel is Kayla Bittner, a dating coach for women, sensual somatics facilitator, and burlesque performer. And our good friend Erica Villani, who is a strength, nutrition, and mindset coach, as well as an avid pole dancer. Thank you so much for joining us all today, everyone.
Thank you so much for welcoming us.
Of course.
Yes. Happy to be here.
You guys excited to talk about sexuality and sensuality?
Yes, let's do it.
I know I am.
About sex, baby.
Yes.
Let's talk about
you. That's all I talk about all day anyway, so.
Beautiful.
I feel like that's why we wanted to have this conversation with this specific group, because we really wanted to have this conversation in a space that's not just a safe space for us to talk about human design and sexuality and all of these things, but is also with people who are, I guess I want to say, practiced at talking about this subject, because it is something that can get a little dicey. And so the idea of having people who are available to be open and vulnerable and we can really have an honest conversation, I think was really important to us for this episode. So thank you guys for agreeing to be here.
Yes, thank you all. I'm excited to hear from your expertise.
Yes, let's get juicy.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's dive right in. I want to ask all of you, and I'll call you all out to ask a little bit more about your perspective on these questions. But first and foremost, what is your relationship with sex? And Natalia, I want to start with you. Before we do, just so our listeners are aware, Natalia is a 6'3 splenic manifester, for those who are following along at home. So Natalia, tell us, what is your relationship with sex?
Well, I'm very comfortable around it. There was a lot of also healing around that subject for me. Since a very young age, I've been very, very sexual. I started exploring myself since the age of 9. So the work that I'm doing today is no surprise for anybody in my family or my friends. They kind of know that, you know, this was eventually bound to happen. But the fact that it became a sacred, more holistic practice as I started to really heal my sexuality. That made me even deepen my relationship with my sexuality. And it's a topic that I just became extremely curious, and I'm always hungry to learn more and to be around more. So now mixing and learning it with my human design is like, wow, I'm taking this like next level thing, you know? So I'm very excited about this. So yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Miss Mason, our beautiful Miss Mason, tell us, as our 2-4 emotional projector, what is your relationship with sex?
Oh, sex. It's so interesting because I feel like as a person with an undefined sacral center, sex has always had so much to do with the other people involved. And When I was really young, I was always a very sexual being. And it's interesting that you said that you started feeling sexual around 9 years old, Natalia, because I hear that and there's a part of me that's like, oh my God, like that's so young. I feel like that wasn't allowed. But when I think back to like when I really started getting obsessed with boys, it was right around then. Like I was the girl who was chasing boys around the playground trying to kiss them in the third grade. And like, you know, so I definitely feel like my early experiences with sex were exploratory and fun. And I wanted to experience. And when I became a teenager, I think when I was, you know, like 15, 16, I really started to want to explore that world deeply. And the whole first, like, I would say until I was like 21, 22, I was obsessed. I loved having sex. I loved being involved in sexual situations. I tried all different kinds of things, different kinds of partners, different kinds of experiences. And then I kind of hit what I'm going to call sacral burnout. I got herpes at that point. And I know this is something that a lot of people struggle with. And I think I now understand that with an undefined sacral center, that was my sacral system. That was like my vagina burning out. It was like, I can't anymore. I am done. And it completely changed my relationship with my sexuality, because now sex meant something very, very different to me. So I then spent a good period of time dealing with a lot of shame around sex, dealing with a lot of, you know, only having sex for the pleasure of somebody else, not really being able to get back to the pleasure that I had felt as a younger woman experiencing sex. And now I feel like since I found human design, there's been a lot of healing that I've done over so many different parts of my life. But even with my current partner, I've done so much healing on that period of time where I feel like I did a lot of sex for other people. And now I feel myself coming back around the other side and kind of getting to experience this sexual revolution from a totally different perspective. And like now, not only, you know, when I think about sex, it's something that I get to choose. It's something that I get to choose what I want to be involved in, when I want to be involved in it. And I don't need to feel shame for instance, sometimes not wanting to have sex, just not feeling like it. Even having a couple of weeks where like my energy is really tied up in other things and like there's just not enough energetic space for me to be able to lean into sex. And then being okay with the idea that sometimes I'm going to want to have sex one day and then 3 days later. And really just kind of being present with how that comes in for me, because it's never a defined thing. I have an undefined sacral center. But with my current partner, who's also a projector, who we've had on the podcast numerous times, PJ, we don't create a defined sacral center together. So when we come together in a sexual way, we don't create that energy. So it's a very like, it's very connected to sensuality, to emotion, to kind of swimming in this space together. So that's been more what sex means to me now, is kind of like, how can I live in the moment of right now rather than getting caught up in the spiral that for years my mind started to go into, and relearning how I'm allowed to experience sex in the same kind of joyful, pleasurable way that I did when I was a teenager and in my early 20s. So
Thank you so much for being open and sharing your experience like that. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Erica Villani, as our 1-3 sacral generator, what is your relationship with sex?
So as one would guess, based on my human design, I feel like growing up, sex was all about purity culture. Mm. And because I have a defined sacral center, most of my other centers are undefined. And so sex has always been about what other people told me I needed to be. My whole life up until I became an adult and grew into myself and started to, especially even as like a wellness professional, like learning that sex is about being empowered in your body and connecting to your body. For me, like all of my work is about being connected to your body. It's kind of helped me to take back that power as I've grown up in the industry and space that I'm in. And being a pole dancer definitely leans into that, even though I'm actually not technically an exotic style pole dancer. But there was something healing about becoming a pole dancer in this traditionally considered exotic, sexualized art form, and being able to be unapologetic about it and kind of merge all the worlds that I grew up to be comfortable in that were accepted into this world of pole dancing. And honoring the history of pole dancing, that's a whole conversation I could talk about for another day. Honoring the history that pole dancing was created by sex workers and taking away the shame in that. I've had to talk to family and friends who, thought that, why are you doing this pole dancing thing, at first. And I've been able to help other people heal their purity culture, thoughts and feelings around sex. And so that's a part of my relationship with sexuality in its own interesting, unique way. But I think connecting to your body is so much what it means to me. Even though most of my life, I feel like it's always been about the other person and taking on their energy. And so, it's almost a challenge for me as a generator to lean into that and learn how to make it not about other people, but my own personal relationship with sex with myself, and not just having it be all about my partner, but my own experience aside from just with my partner. I'd say that's really my somewhat unique experience with it. And it's been really I've had so much healing. Like, just like both of you had said, for me, it's definitely been healing from a lot of just like shame that I was taught around sex. And the older I get, I feel like it's been so much fun peeling that away and discovering how beautiful, like, being more in touch with your personal relationship with sex can be as a woman in a society that tells us that like sex is for men and sex is for other people's pleasure. That's probably my big picture of how I would describe it.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
Amazing.
All right. Moving on to our 3-5 lunar reflector, Caleb Bittner. What is your relationship with sex?
Wow. Well, first of all, I just am loving everyone's depth of conversation, what they've shared so far. So, I would say right now where my relationship is it's a pleasurable rejuvenation for me. It's one of my resourcing practices now. But if we were to rewind, I grew up in a house where, because of ancestral trauma, sex was not talked about. I did not learn about my body. I found out about my period in a Friendly's diner from a bunch of fifth graders talking about it. And I had to go ask my mom, why would blood come out of that, And my mom was just, I don't even think she responded. She didn't even tell me then. So I really had to find out what it was on my own. And the one thing my mom did introduce me to was yoga at 8 years old. So somehow as a 12-year-old, I found my way to the spirituality of sex and understanding it as something where you're taking on and experiencing someone else's energy at the same time. And so it's really important to have this depth of connection with someone so that you both are sharing one another's energy back and forth. And then I became hypersexual because I just loved that. I was like, I want to experience everyone's energy. Yep. So it really swung. I had, I had my exploration partner, I'll say, in high school, who is just a wonderful human being to this day. I'm in awe of what he's done with his life. But then in college and then early 20s, I just went off the chart. I had a great time. And then that was followed by hyposexuality, which I think is from having allowed myself gone way past my boundaries. I did not understand the fawning trauma response. And so that was something that I've only recently untied and uncovered and understood why I would put myself in those positions, and then have gone on a very deep somatic journey in my body to try to heal what those relationships have been and what they are, and to rebalance out. I'm currently in the process of really rewiring my body to understand and get aroused from safety. Which is something that's also very new to my body. It was living in chaos for so long that was where my arousal came from. So now that's where I'm at in my journey. And it's beautiful, enthralling, dark, scary, all of it all together. And I think that's very reflective. It's just that it's always changing.
Yeah. Oh, I resonate with that so much, actually. So Megan here, your 5-1 emotional manifesting generator. I resonate a lot with what you mentioned, Kayla, because I'm also right now in the process of learning to be aroused by safety and comfort. And, I've been with my husband now for 10 years, and, it's been a very safe, loving, wonderful relationship. But prior to this relationship, it was chaotic. I felt like sex and sensuality were projected onto me a lot, but I never really felt connected to it. So a lot of my actions were very much for other people. When I was younger, in my 20s, and it wasn't until, this relationship where I started to be okay and willing to explore and try new things in a safe way. My relationship, I feel like, is very, very much the everyday person. I'm not a coach. I've just been enjoying sex and enjoying sexual relationships with other people, and learning to also enjoy sex and sensuality within myself. I think it's a journey that everybody goes on, everybody needs to go on. And it is, there's a lot to it. A lot of us go through, trauma, and, I'm not different. I had a traumatic experience in my early 20s, and it took me a really long time to heal from that. And in some ways I'm still healing from that and still working on being okay in certain situations. But, I'm very grateful for the space and the partner that I have, who gives me the space to explore and be honest and be okay with not willing to be a partner and in a sexual way and just be myself. So that's my relationship with sex. It's been up and down, but it's a journey. It's one that I'm still learning more about every day. And I'm hoping that I continue to have enlightenment in my sexuality. So yeah, thank you all so much for sharing, you guys. I know everybody's experiences are different, but there's also a lot of connection. I also want to point out that this is the first episode where we have one of every type in human design on the podcast today, which is so cool. So everybody's going to be able to get insight into their own type: manifestor, generator, reflector, projector, manifesting generator. So that's really cool. I'm going to open up to the next question. What are you all looking to get from a sexual experience or sexual interaction? We'll go around the circle again. Natalia, would you like to start?
Yeah. So for me is connection, right? So from, like I mentioned, I started exploring my sexuality at a very young age, obviously. No training, no experience, nobody to really talk to or to explain to me how things work, because I feel like, you know, they didn't even have that information to give out in the first place, right? So when I lost my virginity and when I started going into all of that, it was more about responding to everything that was coming into my field. And so me not knowing my boundaries or me not knowing where to stop, it became about just responding and saying yes. I was very sexual since a very young age and a lot of appetite, a lot of curiosity. And for me, it was about quality. I mean, it was about quantity, not quality, up until the point where I actually understood that good sex doesn't need to, you know, like I can have one amazing, fulfilling sex a month, and that could be sufficient to sustain that energy the whole entire month. And I can have months where I'm having 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, in the past, right? Before I was married, but obviously not to the point of like 10 different partners. But it's like I was having more sex, but it wasn't so much about quality. So, and it was just about that, to get it off, to have an orgasm. So today, how I understand that energy works, I understand my boundaries as well. I believe that what I really seek in my sexual experiences is definitely connection, and connections that will take me to experience a different kind of energetic growth, or it would take me to a different, like it would challenge me differently, or as to like, how far can I go? How much longer can I last? How I can transform maybe this orgasm into something like a bodily experience, instead of just reaching that peak energy and releasing it through an orgasm. So it's about depth and connection for sure.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Miss Mason, what are you looking to get from a sexual experience?
Yeah. I love everything Natalia just said. That I am 100% looking for connection when it comes to sex. I'm looking to feel deeply connected to the person that I'm with. I've always been almost monogamous to a fault, where I will like try really hard to keep a certain partner even if it doesn't work, kind of thing. But my current partner, we continually find new ways to connect. We're constantly finding new things that we can allow ourselves to be connecting on. And something else that I've been diving into recently, which I feel like really helps with my connection to myself, because I never masturbated. It was never something that I was never taught that it was even a thing. When I found out about it, I was like, whoa, that's probably really gross. It felt really like taboo. And then even when I started like advocating for others to masturbate, for others to practice self-pleasure, I didn't want to do it. I got all the toys and I never really had any interest in it. And then more recently, I found sex magic, which I've kind of been on a journey of discovering my own magic and discovering the energy that I create and how I can utilize that energy in my world. And so when I discovered sex magic, it was kind of like, oh, wait, like, what if I can use this deep connection that I get to have with myself to help manifest, to help me create like these beautiful experiences? And so I've been doing these sex magic rituals where we essentially visualize the things we want to manifest, the life we want to live, the way we want to feel, while providing self-pleasure. And through that, I've been able to connect so much more deeply with myself, and have even been able to experience orgasm without touching myself, which is something that I did not even know was possible.
What? I did not know that you could do that.
I know, right? It was so cool. It was like such like a meditative, energetic experience. And I'm like moving the energy through. So cool. But it's all about that connection to myself. And that's something that I've been cultivating from a self-care perspective for the last, you know, 5 years or so. So being able to marry that with sex, I feel like so healing. And one thing that I do want to highlight, just because everyone was talking about it before, and I completely agree, is the idea of finding, getting turned on by safety is a thing that I feel like as we are all moving into this new understanding, it's like how many of us wanted a bad boy? How many of us at the early stages were like, you know, wanted danger? Sex and danger were so closely linked. And so like for the begin, like the first few years of my sexual experiences, and really I think most of my life as, you know, involved in sex, I was looking for danger. Like I wanted something that was going to like excite me in a way that I didn't know if I was safe. And of course that ended up creating a lot of psychological issues that then when I did feel safe, they would all come up and I, you know, wouldn't be able to focus. So now I'm coming out on the other side of that and learning how to experience this connection and this sexual pleasure and sensuality through a place of safety. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Erica, what are you looking from a sexual experience?
So I swear this was already my idea before everyone else said it, but connection is like, I think the number one. But I will make it more specific as the resident generator here. I think that for me, honestly, it's interesting because I'm such a generator. Like I've been working, I still haven't stopped working all day today since 9 o'clock this morning, right? Like I haven't stopped. And so as a generator, like I will go and get sucked into everyone else's energy. So sex for me can really be an opportunity to connect to the present and my body and my partner or whatever it is, right? Like it can help ground me. It can help me come back down and like not be worried so much about everyone else and everything else and my to-do list and all the things I have to get done. I mean, I know that sounds like almost shallow in the sense of like, oh, it's just a distraction or it's a way for you to chill out. But it's not that. It's more about connecting to myself, my partner, my body, whatever the scenario is, in a deeper way. And so sex to me, that's really ultimately what it's about. And I think it really does also come down to quality, like you said, Natalia, as well. Like, you know, if it feels like, I feel like in marriage, a lot of people feel like, oh, we're supposed to have sex this many times, or like, you know, you're supposed to keep a certain schedule, or you're just like this. But I think that like, personally, I prefer to have it be organic. I prefer to have it be something that's a way to connect with your partner in the middle of the day. You know, like that's what my husband and I like to kind of like, oh, like, let's just have some time to de-stress. You know, we've been so crazy, so busy today. Like this is like, and it's perfect for me. Like I need that. My husband is a projector, so he can kind of provide that for me, which is great. Because otherwise I will not stop working. And yeah. So, yeah, for me, it's like connection and like coming back down and being present on a deeper level. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Kayla Bittner.
Yeah. So what do I say that's original after connection? I was like, connection. But, you know, so it is interesting because I have the connection with my partner, and I also have, I love sex magic. I love using a solo sex practice to find my energy again, and then also be able to infuse my body with my energy again. And I use that as a practice often. And for me, it just also releases a lot of stress and brings me a lot of joy. It's a place where for actually a very long time, when I felt less confidence in myself, I actually felt more confidence in my sexual expression. And I could find that and tap into it. And thankfully now I'm at a place where I feel like there's, you know, I don't need to do that as well. I have my confidence in my being and my body fully most of the time. We all have our days. But yeah, so sex, I mean, it provides connection, it provides joy, it's play, it's all these things. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's great that we all have the same answer. And there's different varieties of the same answer. Like my answer is also connection. If you had asked me like 5 or 6 years ago, it would have been release, right? It would have been like, I'm looking for a release. I'm looking for to de-stress, right? And that's a way to do it. But now it's more based on connection because I want to take the time with my partner to really be closer, be connected. And it says a lot to all of our experience and understanding and expertise that connection is really the meaning of, or not the meaning of, but a big portion of sex, a big reason why sex is important. And I think that I like opening up the conversation to this as an important part of our being. Sex is important, and I don't think society puts enough emphasis on it, but that's a diatribe for another day. Let's get into the human design aspect of sex. So Kayla and I were talking about it, and human design really sits, or sex in human design really sits in the sacral center, the splenic center, and the emotional center. So let's dive into those. Kayla, can you give us a good description of how sex manifests in the sacral center?
Absolutely. So the sacral center is actually the center. If you're following along at home, your sacral center is the one up, the second one up from the bottom, right in the middle there. It is a square. If it's colored in, you have it defined. If it is not colored in, you have it undefined. So the sacral center is connected to the reproductive organs. So literally, this is the center that controls our reproduction. So this is also where the concept of creativity comes in, the concept of reproduction. So this is where being able to create and having that sustainable life force energy comes in. That's why our generators and manifesting generators, people with defined sacral centers, have more energy, sustainable energy, than those of us who have undefined sacral centers. So in relation to sex, because the sacral center is connected to this raw life force energy and connected to the reproductive organs, when you're looking at a defined sacral center, this is someone who emits that energy. They emit that creative energy. They emit that life force energy. They often will emit that sexual energy. And it's something that people can feel when you walk in the room. So often you might find that the people, and we're going to find out when we talk about it, but that people with defined sacral centers tend to be the initiator of sex, tend to be the person who gets turned on by themselves in their own space. Whereas with an undefined sacral center, you are absorbing the energy of those around you. So with an undefined sacral, you don't create that energy for yourself. You don't create that reproductive, that sexual turn-on energy for yourself. You absorb it from other people, amplify it, and reflect it back. So this is the kind of thing where if your partner is feeling turned on, you might get really turned on by the fact that they're turned on, and then reflect it back to them, come back to them with an even more sexual, more excited kind of experience if you have a partner who has a defined sacral center. And of course, there are situations where neither partner has a defined sacral center, like in my relationship, and we don't create one. So it's more of a ping-ponging of throwing the sexual energy back and forth to each other. So that's kind of how sex shows up, sexuality shows up in the human design chart within the sacral center. So we have on the podcast today, two people with defined sacral centers and three people with undefined sacral centers. So Megan, lead us in.
The question for the sacral center is, how does sexuality show up for you on your own and versus other people? Starting with our defined centers, Erica, why don't you let us know how it shows up for you versus with other people?
So it's interesting because when it's on my own, I do feel like the defined sacral center classic, like I initiate, like I'm the initiator. But when it's with other people, because all of my other centers are not defined, I very much wait for the invitation. I'm not really the initiator when it comes to being like in sexual situations with like my husband, for example. And sometimes I am, but I find that I often am like reading the room when it comes to like that. And I think that it partly is because of the connection, the desire for it to be connected and the way that I absorb other people's energy. And so, yeah, I think honestly, that's the difference in my experience for, is that answering the question of like,
yeah,
by myself versus with someone else? I think it's so interesting because as I healed my own relationship with purity culture and shame around sex, especially solo sex, I have also had some experiences with sex magic. And to me, that's been so healing to be like, wow, this serves such a deeper purpose. Like, you know, as a generator, that's what gets me to do something. It's like, oh, it serves a purpose, right? Like, this is like a thing that will serve other areas of my life. And so I think that also plays a really big part in it. And that has freed me up to still feel like I can utilize sex without needing to wait for an invitation in its own way, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. And I think for me, I very much know when I'm turned on by myself. It's like, oh, I'm turned on now. All right. I get that. And then when I'm in a room with other people, I'm also, I also kind of sit back and kind of let the desire of sex be projected onto me, if that makes sense. Cause I never feel particularly like excited to have sex with somebody else unless it's my husband and I want to. but if I'm in a room with other people and there is the, or, you know, in a room with my husband and he's excited and wants to have sex, I go, oh, okay. And it's like, ah, I know how to turn that on manually, right? There's like the automatic version by myself and then there's the manual version with other people around. But it's a very easy switch, right? It's like a very easy switch to flip for us as defined sacral centers.
That's so interesting.
What about you guys undefined?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I love hearing about the idea of you're being able to like flip a switch, like you're being able to like it's, you know, you almost have like control over that part of you, of who you are and what you're doing in that moment. That's so interesting. I actually would like to pose a question to the defines before we move on. How do you guys experience like the amount of time that you want to be in a sexual experience? Is it a lot of times like about the orgasm for you, or is it more about being in the space?
Mm. I think it depends whether or not it's by myself or with somebody else. I feel like if it's by myself, it's really, it's, I'm turned on. I need the release. I need the orgasm and then we'll call it a day. If it's with somebody else, it's more about the experience and being with them.
Cool.
I agree 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because that reminds me of on the gaming episode, we had the conversation and all of the defined sacrals, all of the many gens and the generators were talking about wanting to just be in the room with the other people. Like they just wanted to play the game with the other people, play on a team, be involved. So, because that's not what I would have expected to hear from defined sacrals. So it's always, I love being surprised by this stuff. So that's awesome. And I love knowing that. And you'll have to wait until part two to hear about the experience of our undefined sacral beings with their undefined sacral centers and their relationship to sexuality.
Beautiful segue.
I love this conversation so much.
Oh my gosh. It's a great conversation. It's a conversation that needs to be had too. I feel like we don't talk about the experience of sex enough. Mm-hmm. And it's really, you know, everything that everybody's saying is really insightful. It's very personal to them, but it's also really great to hear from other women about their experience, their relationship, and, you know, where it falls in the human design, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, I know. And I love that we're getting to really bring this conversation into the open, because women don't often talk about sex, especially not in public places. And more recently, I think it's becoming less taboo. It's becoming something that we do more. But that's because more women are saying, hey, we want to talk about sex. So we are putting ourselves in the conversation, and I love that so much. So thank you to our listeners for coming in and being a part of this conversation. And I cannot wait for you to hear part two.
Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard on this podcast, follow us on Instagram at Human Design in Real Time to keep up with our next episodes.
And if you want to learn more about your own human design, I'd love to help you on your journey. You can head to my website, kayla-care.com, to book an introductory human design session, where we'll dive into the person you were born to be. That's kayla-care.com.
We're always looking for awesome humans to be guests on the podcast. So if you'd like to be interviewed, send us an email at humandesigninrealtime@gmail.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Kayla Care. A big thank you to our amazing producer, sound mixer, designer, and editor, Sabrina Mason. Thank you to the composers of our theme song, Niall Spaulding and Sabrina Mason. Thank you to today's guests for being open and present with us.
And thanks to you, our listeners, for supporting this podcast. Keep discovering your
human design in real time.